Corinthians 15, 57, and talking about Satan's strategy, detecting and defeating him. Everything that you said is true in regards to Satan. It is true. All right. Anybody want to know what is the one of the key places he attacks the Christian? It's a key place, yes.
The house,
this is true. It wants to get you before you get out of the house, or you can get out of the house in the flesh. Yes, Ms. Dawson?
The mind.
The mind, one of the key areas that Satan affects us in. That's one of the key areas we're going to start off with today. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. And let's read that together. Everybody there say amen?
Amen.
Any omies? Omie, all right. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, all right. All right, well, let's read 15:57 together. Here we go. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then go to 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. And we're going to read 4 and 5. And read that with me. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Father, bless over the next several weeks as we talk about this subject as Satan's strategy, detecting and defeating him. Lord, we are ordinary victims. Lord, we want to become the extraordinary victors that you have made us to be. I pray that tonight, Lord, we might be more aware of Satan and his tactics, what he's doing, what he's trying to do, be on guard for him, Lord, and over the next several weeks, become more knowledgeable of, Lord, how we can avoid him and how we can claim this victory that's already been won for us. Lord, may we leave here differently once again than when we came in. Every time the word of God is open, we should, Lord, be affected in some way, shape, fashion, or form for the kingdom of God and the glory of God. And help us to be more conformed to the image of Christ, and help us to leave here, Lord, being not just hearers of the word, but doers of the work, Lord. That's how we're going to defeat Satan. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bind Satan and his imps from this place. Help us to focus on thus saith the Lord. And Lord, we know he'll fight these next several weeks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Well, let me say this. You have overcome the first hurdle and the first obstacle already. The devil does not want you to be in church. So you've overcome the first obstacle because you're here. And if you do come, what does he want to do for you when you get here?
Discourage you
is one tactic. Tasha?
Distract you.
My wife and I learned years ago. Now, y'all are not like me and my wife, so don't take any offense to this. Years ago, my wife and I learned that we cannot sit in the back seat.
Yeah.
Why? Because we see everything. I have this attitude that if I see it, I'm going to focus on it. And so I cannot sit in the back. I've got to sit in the front because I'm easily distracted. Easily distracted. You say, you seem like a 5-year-old. No, more like a 2-year-old. Amen. I'm easily distracted. If it moves, I go. I'm like a little kitten. There it goes. Pouncing on it. That's just my mentality. So I've got to sit in front because I know me. I'm easily distracted. A ball could roll around or something like that, boy, and I'll see it. Now, some of my children are just the opposite. They'll see something down there. Won't faze them a bit. Amen. I'm not like that. Amen. If it comes in there, if a fly comes in the room, I see the fly. If it's a mosquito, I see the mosquito. If it's a gnat, I see the gnat. There he is. And I'm like, did y'all see that? What? That gnat. Who? A gnat. Work with me now. That's just me. I know me, so I have to sit up front. Satan wants to distract you. If he cannot keep you from getting here, he'll say, once you get here, let me distract you. Now, why does he want to distract you? Terrell? If you're distracted, you cannot hear the message. And so he knows the message will do what? Help you. And if the message will help you, he doesn't want you to get any help. Why? He wants to win. Now, how many of y'all like to win? Don't you think the devil likes to win too? He is a sore loser. He wants to win. Now, we have the inside scoop. He's already a loser. But he wants to make you ineffective in your life. By the way, is the victory already ours?
Yes.
Look at 1 Corinthians again. it says, but thanks be unto God, which, what? What's that word? Giveth. How many of y'all would just like to be handed a victory? G2, next game, just handed a victory. Y'all won, don't even have to play. Josiah, you won, don't even have to play. Terrell, you won, don't even have to play. You won. Matter of fact, we'll give you MVP. Don't even have to play. Amen. Boy, I said, like, whoa. Man, I didn't even have to play. Tasha, go down there to the concert pianist competition. Tasha, you won. Don't even have to play. Giveth us, it's been handed to us. And the devil knows it's been handed to us. But guess what he wants to try to do? Steal it away. So that you and I are ineffective or non-effective in what we do. Can he do it? Yes, he can. Does he actually steal it or do we forfeit it? We forfeit it by all the words that you described with Satan before. His tricks, his deceit, his lies. He pretty much makes you forfeit it. Isn't that terrible, Terrell? You could forfeit the MVP that's been given to you. You could forfeit the game that's been given to you. G2, you could forfeit the three-point championship that's been given to you. Joshua, you could forfeit all the sweets in the world. No, say it ain't so. Joshua's playing flag football now out there, and he's the tallest one out there. The coach said, just stick your hand up. You're the biggest thing out there. Amen. Catch that ball. You could forfeit your next game, Joshua. Josiah, you could, and it's been given to you. Now think about this. Thanks be unto God, which what? Giveth us the victory. How do we get the victory? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look back at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Notice what it says here. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory. Notice that. The victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So the word overcome pretty much means to be the victor, to conquer, to prevail. So we have conquered. We have prevailed. We already get the victory. Amen. Overcometh the world. So what we're going to talk about tonight pretty much is just some preliminary thoughts about what this whole entire study is going to be about, because we want to unmask the devil. And he's going to do everything in his power to keep you from benefiting from the next several weeks. He's going to use detours, distractions, disturbances, discouragement, just to mention a few. Amen. How many of y'all have one already? A disturbance, a distraction, a discouragement, or a detour already. It happens. It happens. We were down at the hospital with Diane, and she's talking about, man, she said, I missed the anniversary. I'm sad, and I missed this, and I missed that. Janet said, man, I want to be in church tomorrow, but I can't. I got into this accident. What happened? Distractions already. Now, I announced this on Wednesday, didn't I? And I said, expect some things to happen. Janet gets in an accident. Diana's in the hospital. Something's going to happen to you. Pastor White, Wendell wouldn't roll up yesterday. Tried to give him heat stroke, amen. So he passed out and can't drive. Miss White got to drive back. Miss White said, that ain't happening. Amen. Get Terrell up there. Terrell ain't got no license at all. Say, pull over, buddy. Let me see your license. My youth leader's got my license in the back. What's your name? Kenneth White Jr. Yeah, that's it. Why don't you look like this picture? It was taken a long time ago. Hey, it's going to happen, folks. His strategies will be unmasked and will be equipped to detect and defeat him if we are listening. Amen. Here's a basic overview of some things that we're going to study over the next several weeks. It's pretty much 1, 2, 3, 4 categories that we're going to look at. The first category is going to be this, and they all pretty much are the same in outline form, but we're looking at different people. But this is what we're going to be looking at. First of all, Satan as a deceiver. His target is your mind. His weapon is going to be lies. His purpose is going to be to make you ignorant of God's will. Think about that. If I can get your mind affected, if I can tell you some lies, I can make you ignorant of God's will. And what is going to be the saint's defense? The inspired word of God always has been, always will be. If you and I just obey this book, think about it. If Eve would have just obeyed what God said, would we be in this predicament that we're in right now?
No.
If she would have just obeyed this book. So if you and I would just obey the book, the word of God, we won't get into trouble that we would normally get into. Amen. And so as a deceiver, his target is our mind. His weapon is going to be lies. His purpose is going to be to make us ignorant of God's will. Our defense is the inspired word of God. Then we're going to look at Satan as a destroyer, not just a deceiver, but a destroyer. As a destroyer, his target, believe it or not, is your body. Why? You only got one body to serve God in. Think about all the NFL players that are down, Pastor White. They only got one body to play with. And that body is down, guess what? Several quarterbacks have gone down. They only have one body. Kevin Durant went down. He only has one body. Klay Thompson went down. One body. G2 said in the championship, went down. Amen. So Satan's, as a destroyer, his target is our body. His weapon is suffering. How many of y'all hate suffering? Don't you know the devil knows that you hate suffering? So what do you think he's going to do? He's going to make you a Job. And if he makes you a Job, how will you handle being a Job? I don't know about you. I don't like suffering. I don't make a good Job. How many of y'all make a good Job? You suffer well. I don't. You do, brother? I don't. I don't even get sick well. I don't like being sick. I don't handle sick well. I mean, when I get a back spasm, I mean, it kills me. Literally. Amen. It's rough. And I'm thinking, man, I want to get up. And I'm like, then I get up and try to do something. Then it cramps up. And I got to get back into bed. Lay down. Then I try to get up. Like, and the minuscule tasks hurt. I chew. But you know what I'm talking about, brother? Just an I chew. You know, you go reach for something. And you feel like the mummy. Can somebody help the brother out? I had to sit down like this. And don't try to get up, amen. I don't suffer well. I couldn't make a good Job. Yeah, you drop something, amen. Or somebody scare you. Oh, don't do that to me. It's painful. Hey, how many of y'all have back spasms? Y'all know what I'm talking about. They are not fun. And then you take the medicine that they give you and you feel like a bag of clothes. And I don't like that either. So as a destroyer, his target is your body. His weapon he uses is suffering. His purpose is this, to make you impatient of God's will. Don't wait on God. Amen. By the way, when you are in pain, you need to rest. And you don't want to get impatient with God's will. So as a destroyer, it's body. The target is your body. The weapon is suffering he uses. His purpose is to make you impatient of God's will. As a saint, our defense is the imparted grace of God. What did Paul say? Grace is sufficient. Grace is sufficient. As a deceiver, we see. As a destroyer, as a ruler, we're going to see Satan. And as a ruler, his target is, believe it or not, your will. Your will. Your will. As a ruler, he wants to target your will. His weapon that he often uses is none other than pride. 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 What is his purpose? To make you independent of God's will. Because if I'm prideful, I don't want to do what God wants. I want to do what I want to do. Is that not what David did? Not you, David. I'm not talking about you. They said, is that not Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah? David? I'm sure David said, yeah. He said, get her for me. Independent of God's will. So as a ruler, Satan targets our will. His weapon he uses is our pride. His purpose is to make us independent of God's will. What is the saint's defense? We're going to see the indwelling Spirit of God. We've got the Spirit of God that tells us. By the way, you literally have to do this to the Holy Spirit of God. Out of my way. I'm going to do this. And guess what? When you do that, guess what? You have just violated God's will and you're independent of God's will and you're doing your will. But that's what Satan will do. I mean, he will say, push God's will aside. Is that what David said? He looked out and he saw Bathsheba there. He knows she's another man's wife. And he pretty much said, I know she's another man's wife, but. And then he wrote a note. Send that man and put him in there and get him killed. Gave it to Joab. Took two steps over. And then what happened? Joab gets killed. He takes Bathsheba as his wife. Then what happened? He tried to pretend like the baby was his. One, two, three. So now he's so far out of God's will that it's a shame. What happened? Satan used pride as his weapon. And his purpose was to make David independent of God's will. And he violated the Spirit of God. And what did David have to say? Take not thy spirit from me. Amen. Then the last area we're going to look at is Satan as an accuser. Satan as an accuser. What is his target? Our heart and our conscience. What is his weapon that he uses? Accusations. What is his purpose? To bring indictment by God's will. He's going to say, see, God, they violated your will. Is that not what Balaam did with Balak? Got them in trouble and said, you got to judge them now. You got to judge them now. And did God judge them? He did. So as an accuser, he targets our heart and our conscience. His weapon is accusations. His purpose is to bring an indictment by God's will. Our defense is the interceding Son of God. We trust the Lord Jesus Christ to intercede for us. So those are the basic areas we're going to look at over the next several weeks. Tonight, we're just going to look at a basic introduction before we start looking at our mind. By the way, why is our mind a target of Satan? Why is our mind a target of Satan? Terrell? What we think is who we are. Amen. Well, we process everything. Amen. Why is our mind a target? Yes, Ms. Dawson. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen. Before I ever do something, guess what I have to do? I've got to think it, even if it's just a split second thought. You've got to do something. I talked about the back spasms and something drops. Guess what? I had to think about moving. It may be instinctively, but just that split second, my mind had to process that enough through my brain to move. So the mind is the basic target that Satan is against. And so I want us to be aware of some things first. First of all, you're at 1 John. Go back to 1 John 4:4. I want us to see something here. 1 John 4:4, because I want us to notice when it comes to defeating and detecting Satan, his strategies, we are victors practically. I mean, in practice, we are victors. 1 John 4:4, and notice what he says down there in verse number 4. He says, ye are of God, little children, and have what? Overcome them. That word overcome means to conquer, prevail, to get the victory. We've overcome them because what greater is who? He that is in you than what? He that is in the world. That is specifically speaking about Satan's power versus God's power. And Satan's power is not greater than God's power in me. So I am the victor. So in practice or practically, I have the victory because I am an overcomer. Notice this. You have God, little children, overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. By the way, the information that we're going to go over will not help us if we don't put it into, what's the word, the P word? Practice. Practice makes perfect. Satan doesn't mind if you read your Bible all day long. He doesn't mind if you have a Bible reading program for every day. He doesn't mind if you memorize scriptures. What does he mind you doing? Applying it. For whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? He doesn't mind you reading that and having head knowledge. He doesn't want you to have experience. Because if I call on the Lord, I'll be saved. But he'll say, I put it off, I put it off, I put it off, I put it off. Or read it, but don't heed it. Or like we talked about this morning, get saved for the wrong reason. Get saved from your problems. Amen. So the Bible is clear there that we have overcome him. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. We're victors practically. But then I want you to notice something about this. This must be more than head knowledge. It must be heart experience. Head knowledge gives us a false sense of security. I had a friend of mine that was an electrician, and he knew high voltage. And when you know something, you kind of get what? Prideful, lax. How many of y'all are good drivers? When you're a good driver, don't you feel like you're pretty much invincible on the road? Because you're offensive as well as defense. You're aware, you're alert. And aren't you tempted at times to talk on your phone or text while you're driving because you feel like you're a good driver, you're invincible? I can do this. Everybody else says they can't do this. But I can do this. I'm invincible. I can do this. My kids keep me in check. Oh, Daddy, you're not supposed to be doing that. I'm in the front with sometimes trying to check the football score. G2's looking at the score. He's looking at the road. He's looking at the score. Looking at the road like, Daddy, should you really be checking that score? Let me check that score. I'm only 15. I want to learn how to drive one day. I've had my own car. And I got this, son. I got the phone down there on my lap. What's that score? Oh, man, look at that. You get cocky. You get prideful. You get invincible. Because I'm a good driver. Everybody else is a bad driver. But I'm a good driver. No, you better not try this because you might get an accident, Kelly. Brother Duffy, you better not try this because you're a Packers fan. So somebody's going to hit you on purpose. Hey, but nobody can, but I can do it. What happened? We get cocky. And so when you have head knowledge about something, you tend not to practice what you know. And so Satan wants you to know it, but he didn't want you to do anything with it. James 1:22, go over there real quick. James 1:22. Again, what are we talking about? We know a lot about the devil, and he's okay with you knowing about him. He just doesn't want you to do anything about it. James 1:22. James 1:22. And James says this about the knowledge of the word of God. He says down there, but be ye what? Doers. The word doer means to be a performer. Be ye doers or performers of the word and not what? Hearers only. Now notice the word that he uses, deceiving your own selves. You're going to hear a lot about that word over the next several weeks. The word deceiving means to delude yourself or to beguile yourself or to misreckon. It's not the knowing or the reading or even enjoying of the word of God, but it's the doing of the truth that gains you the power of God. Whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
If I don't call, what am I not? So I can know it, but if I don't do it, guess what? A person drowning in the, I was watching one of those shark movies the other day, not shark, but the shark, which is called National Geographic, called the World's Greatest Killers. And they were showing the great white shark and how the shark was getting those seals. And man, this great white shark, man, he was getting those seals. And they were talking about how the older seals were smart, but the younger seals were not smart. And that's who the great white shark was getting. So they out there swimming around, swimming around, you know. And the old senior seals were up on the bank like this. And you see the shark come up there, yeah, and get him in his claws and go back down. The older seals like, that's why I got to be so old. What am I saying here? Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll be that way. We'll not be a doer. We'll just be a hearer. We'll be deceived, and we will be trapped and caught like those little baby seals. The older seals were up there on the little thing up there just checking them out like, yeah, that's why I'm 60 years old as a seal. And those guys didn't get it. Amen. They did not get it. So what am I saying here? We have to make sure we just not know it, not just read it, or even just enjoy it, but we've got to do it to get the power of God. So we're victors practically, in practice. But then notice we're victors positionally. Go to Colossians 1:13. Colossians 1:13. Thing I'm trying to get us to see here is that we have the victory already. We just have to claim it. Amen. It's already there. Amen. I saw that one of the Circle K stores here, somebody had won this lottery ticket. So it's already been won. But somebody had to claim it. Now, if you had that and you go in, you say, here's my ticket. Amen. I want to win that $1,000. Amen. There we go. If nobody claims it, what happens to the money? Goes back to the state. Even though somebody won the money. I might have the ticket, but I gave it to G2 and told him to keep it, and he lost it. And I go in there and say, I bought the ticket. I know I bought it. I gave it to my son, and he lost the ticket. You know what they're going to say? You lost the money, too. Then, Gregor, you have to go to slave prison for a 1,000 years. that's why we don't play the lottery around my house. Amen. No, it's sin. All right, here we go. Colossians 1:13. Amen. Notice what it says here. 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Hath delivered us. Is that present tense or past tense? Hath delivered. Past tense. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness. So we have been delivered past tense, from the power of darkness. When that happened? When we got saved. And have translated us. The word translate there is a word that means to exchange. Exchange. So God has pretty much exchanged you and I our places. Transfer, carried us away, exchanged us. Delivered means to rescue. So who have delivered us, rescued us from the power of darkness, and have translated us, exchanged us into the kingdom of his dear son. So positionally, we already have the victory. If you and I drop dead right now, guess where we're going to be? In heaven, if we're saved. Right now. So positionally, we have the victory. The devil doesn't want you to realize you have it, though. Amen. Now think about, what if you were on the team, you already knew your team was going to the Super Bowl? You already going to the NBA championship and you were already going to win. You were going to the spelling bee and you were going to win the spelling bee. You were going to your job and you were already going to win the employee of the week, month, year, whatever. If you already had the knowledge that it's going to happen, how would you behave yourself? Terrell? Almost probably wouldn't have to really try, man, Gregory. You really wouldn't try, Joshua? Stuck up, amen. We already have the victory. And unfortunately, that's how we act sometimes. We know we got the victory. I know I'm not going to hell, so I don't have to worry about it. And you know, that's the devil's best friend. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm hell proof, amen. Heaven bound. Don't have to worry about it. Devil, what you going to do to me? Wah, 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 wah. Oh, that's what you're going to do. Yeah, try that again. Wop, wop, wop. Because sometimes we don't recognize that we have the victory. And because we don't recognize we have the victory, it's already won. We know it's going to happen. Sometimes we get arrogant and prideful when we do reckon that we know we've got the victory. And he loves a prideful Christian. So when you look at this, we know that we're victors practically. We know we're victors positionally, but also we are victors powerfully. Go over to Revelation 12, 11. Revelation 12, 11. Revelation 12, 11. Victors powerfully, not just positionally. We know where we're going, not just practically. We have this victory. Revelation 12, 11. Notice he says down there, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Y'all know how powerful the blood of Christ is? It can take away our sin. It can get you out of hell. It makes you hell-proof and heaven-bound. They overcame him, notice this, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I'm saved, amen. I'm going to heaven. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Of course, this is talking about in the last days, but powerfully, we have overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's nothing we've done. It's everything that he's done. That's power. That's power. We sing the song, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Why? Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's what? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Amen. Hey, folks, when it comes down to this, overcame again means to conquer, prevail, or get the victory. Same word that we looked at in over there in 1 John, amen. The same basic word, to prevail, get the victory. But thanks be unto God, which give us the victory. We've been handed the victory. It's been handed to us. Satan knows that. Revelation says he knows that his days are limited. Are numbered. He knows that. He doesn't know exactly when, but he knows they're numbered. He knows he's going to have the Antichrist come down and wreak havoc. He already knows that. He already knows there's going to be a tribulation time where the Jews are going to be affected. He already knows that. He already knows there's going to be an Armageddon war. He already knows that. He already knows there's going to be 1,000 years that he'll be locked up, chained up, in torment, in prison, waiting to be let out. He already knows that. He knows he'll be let out at the end of 1,000 years to bring a revolt against God. He already knows that. And he already knows that he's going to the lake of fire. He already knows that. He doesn't want you to know that, though. He doesn't want you to know that. And he doesn't want you to know that he's got it out for you. He doesn't want you to know that. He's going to lie. He's going to trick you. He's going to deceive you. He's going to toy with your mind. He is going to do everything he can. Young people, whatever was said at the conference yesterday, I don't know, but I can tell you this. The preachers were preaching for a reason to warn you about some things that are going to happen. Gregory was talking about one of the quarterbacks that got a hold of some bad drugs and had lost his mind. And I reminded him that that happened to his dad in his BC days when I got a hold of some bad drugs. And for 3 days, I was out of my mind. I was so afraid, I thought I'd never get my mind back. I never touched a drug from that day forward, and I wasn't even saved. I was so scared out of my mind. I said, I will never touch another drug in my entire existence. That scared me. Gregory talked about how the quarterback couldn't talk. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw stuff. I was afraid to close my eyes. I couldn't go to sleep. For 3 days, I said, I will never, ever touch drugs again. And folks, that was enough to stop me from drugs, and I wasn't even a Christian. I'm just blessed that what happened to that quarterback didn't happen to me, because it could easily happen. Carmen's got a friend that she grew up with, and somebody put something in her drink, and she was never the same from that point. She lost her mind. Never the same. What am I saying here? Satan does not want you to be successful. He will use every means. Young people, what was said there was said to warn you that there are dangers out there. What's being said in the preaching and in the Sunday school classes is a warning. The devil is real, and he really wants to harm you and hurt you and ruin your life. He doesn't want you to be successful. He doesn't want me to be successful. He doesn't want the churches to be successful. He doesn't want Christians to be successful. He doesn't want anyone named of God to be successful. And he will do everything in his power. And that's what the next several weeks we're going to look at some things about Satan. One of the first things we're going to look at is him as a deceiver, and he targets your mind. Be careful what you read. Be careful what you see. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you say, because he knows that your mind is the gateway to your heart. The way that he got Eve was through her mind. Yea, hath God said. Got her to question it. She got to thinking on it. And she said, you know what? Probably wouldn't be so bad to be as God. The problem with that is that Satan didn't tell an out-and-out lie. He told a half-truth with the intent to deceive. And when you tell a half-truth with the intent to deceive, guess what? Amen. It's like saying, well, my child is 12 and they were really 11. Or they were 11 because you're trying to get them in for the budget brand price. That's not really the truth. Well, they were 11. They're close to that age. Yeah, okay. Yeah, the intent to deceive. That's a half truth, and that's never good. I pick with them whenever I go up there. I say, hey, do you guys have a military discount? They say no. I say, you have a senior discount? They say yes, but you got to be 65. I said okay. I said I look 65. They say no, not gonna work. I said, do you have a bald person's discount? And then she'd say, no. I said, what kind of discount can I qualify for? It's got to be something I can qualify for. And normally they'll break down and say, you know, sir, because you're so persistent, I'll give you a 10% discount just for being you. I'll take it. Hey, that's why y'all don't get no discounts, amen. You have not because you ask not, amen. But asking for a blonde discount, a brunette discount, a bald discount, a, you know, partially bald, you better ask for them discounts, amen. I ask, amen. You have not because you ask. Hey, what am I saying, folks? Satan will deceive, and he tries to deceive, and he'll use all sorts of tricks to try to target your mind and try to target my mind. Don't let it happen. You know, one of the things we're going to see about Satan next week is this. He's a deliberate deceiver. Any of y'all ever seen a magician? Y'all went up to North Valley and saw that guy. He's a deliberate deceiver. He is not trying to play games. He's letting you know, I'm going to do an illusion and you don't know. I'm going to trick you. And you say, no. He says, yes, watch this. And he does his little trick and you think, oh, I told you I was going to trick you. And then we think, oh, the girl's head is floating around. Oh, you know a person's head can't float around. You know that's not true. But you look at this head floating around, you're thinking, But her head, and it's not there. Her head is over there, and she's in the box, and she's not in the box, and the leg is in the box, and deliberately deceiving. And that's what say he's, I'm going to deceive you on purpose. I'm going to do it. And this is what he does. He does it. And you know what we do? We fall for it. You know why? He attacks her mind. When you look at the head floating up there, Gregory, what did you say in North Valley when you saw her head?
Well, I was like, how do you do it? I didn't even know what to say.
Now, the average answer is, it's just an illusion. I know her head is not doing this because it's not attached to her body. Because if it were so, that would be murder. Amen? And so I know he is deliberately deceiving me. So let me just sit back and enjoy this illusion and ask him for the trick to it, because I know there's a trick to it, because people's heads just don't float. Satan is a deceiver, and he deliberately deceives us to our faces. But we can look to the Word of God and know the deception and find the way to defend ourselves against us. And we're going to look at that next week, how he is a deliberate deceiver. He is not pulling any tricks. As far as that, he is deliberately going to deceive you and I by his lies, by his tactics, by everything he does as part of his strategy. We have to be able to detect it and defend against it, because this is what it's going to take. Word of God. Without the Word of God, we are not going to make it. We have got to stand on this book. Father, help us these next several days before we come back next week. Satan is going to try to, Lord, get us to do some things that we know are not right. He's going to deliberately deceive us. He's going to do some things to us this week. And our only defense is going to be the inspired Word of God. Our only defense is going to be knowing that we have the victory. The only defense is going to be overcoming him through the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. The only thing that's going to help us is to stand by the Word of God. Lord, help us to detect Satan's lies, his deceits, and be able to defend against them. Lord, thank you for the blessed Word of God, and thank you for our ability that we have to rely upon the Word of God, and help us to take these truths. Lord, it does us no good if we don't practice them. Lord, help us to be not just hearers of the Word, but doers. Lord, knowing that our mind will be attacked, help us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Help us to be renewed in the Word of God, and help it to allow us to stand against the wiles of Satan. He's a trickster. He's a deceiver. He's an accuser. And Lord, he's a destroyer. Help us to fight in the Word of God and in the power of the Spirit. Lord, help us to go to our workplaces, go to our homes and our schools, to make a difference, standing for Jesus Christ and not falling for the deception that Satan will throw, because he's a deliberate deceiver. Work in us, Lord. Help us to make a decision to stand. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Pastor White's going to come with our announcements. Men, don't forget, get signed up for the men's retreat. Ladies, you should be already signed up. Amen. And we're looking forward to a blessing. Don't let the devil deceive you. Amen.
Thank you, Chris. Just a couple of quick things that you could before.